You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Jared Porter thing is a bad look. We understand that. But this is a Jared Porter problem. The Mets dealt with it swiftly. He's no longer here. That's it. They're going to continue their business. I believe from everything that I've read, and if something else comes out to make me believe differently, that the Mets did what they needed to do in this hire, and this is something that was not going to be found out by them in the interview process. He was someone who had interviewed in other places. He had left the Cubs. He went to the Diamondbacks. He was known as a rising star in baseball, and this was something on his record that nobody had access to. So the Mets hired him. It was unlucky when the story came out, and they ended up firing him. You know, I know that a lot of people, and it's fine, we'll talk about it because it's an interesting side of this story. I want to talk about the timing of it and ESPN. But from the Mets' standpoint, regardless of when, if the story came out before they hired him, they wouldn't have hired him. The story came out after they hired him, and they fired him. So that's what you need to know from a Mets standpoint, what's going on. And it's a good thing that it came out because if it hadn't come out, and this is a pattern in Jared Porter's life. Who knows if he had done this before or is capable of doing it again. And he did it in the Mets front office with an employee there or a reporter covering the team or whatever on the Mets watch. And that's a big problem. So those that are upset that it came out now and the Mets had to fire him, think about if it didn't come out now. And think about if Jared Porter, who clearly something is amiss for him to act in the way that he did in 2016, ended up continuing that behavior here in New York. How would that go?
Well, the other thing it also goes to show you is how in-depth you have to go when you are interviewing somebody like this. Same thing for a coach, a manager, a general manager. In this case, it was a general manager for all sports. You know, everybody has to be vetted. And they, you know, even Sandy Alderson said it yesterday, maybe we have to do like an FBI investigation if the candidate allows us to do that, so we can go deep into whatever their past may have included. And even, I always tell my kids with your tweets and, well, they're not kids anymore. They're 29 and 30 years old or going to be 30. The point being is that you leave a trail on your tweets and, you know, your photos and everything else out there. So employers nowadays can go into your social media life.
100%. You see it with guys who are going into the NBA, the NFL, and everybody's going through all their tweets. You know, somebody who is a star in the NCAA tournament that comes out of nowhere, you go through the tweets, and what people do is they quote whatever curse word or racial slur or whatever in that person's account to see if they had ever said it, and then they end up retweeting those things from the past when, I mean, it's no excuse to say certain things, but, you know, when someone's 15, 16 years old says something really stupid and then all of a sudden their future is compromised because of it, I mean, yeah, this stuff happens all the time. Now, I don't know if the Mets didn't, you know, could they have talked to somebody in the Cubs organization that was willing to talk about this? I don't have the answer to that. But from what I heard yesterday from Sandy Alderson, you know, this was something that was a surprise to a lot of people. And there was a very small amount of people that knew that didn't tell the Mets that this was going on when he was a finalist.
It's kind of interesting that, you know, the one caller was right. I mean, I look back at all the tweets and everything from different baseball people in regards to Jared Porter. Everybody said it was a great hire.
Sure.
Everybody. Yeah. I mean, there was nothing but, you know, glowing reviews. And the Mets got it right. And this guy is a rising star. And he worked for Theo Epstein. Did Theo Epstein know about this?
Well, Theo Epstein's also working for Major League Baseball now.
Right, exactly.
Which is an interesting thing. Like, this guy was working under him.
If the Cubs employee, has been reported, knew about this and tried to bring Jared Porter and this woman together to try to resolve whatever differences there were, doesn't Theo Epstein have to know about this?
Well, I mean, I would think, but I don't know. And you want to ask questions, you know, ask questions about what the Cubs did when they found out about it. Because that was their employee.
Right.
This was not the Mets' employee when this happened. Yeah, they hired the guy 5 years later
but
and
then
didn't
he left
know.
But he left the Cubs.
Yeah, he
and
went to
the Diamondbacks.
Right. Oof. And do you want to ask the Diamondbacks about, like, that whole thing? And why'd you hire him? And you guys are nuts. Did you do enough due diligence? I mean, the point that I'm trying to make is I believe that the Mets handled this the best that they could have. And I've got no reason to defend the Mets in this regard. Like, I just, the way I see it is I think that they handled it the right way.
It was immediate, it was swift, and it was significant.
All right, let's go to Drew out in Wisconsin this morning. What's going on, Drew?
Hey, guys. Well, first off, I want to say thank you for getting me through the pandemic. I've turned to you guys and you and Alan Jerry and the warm-up show. Secondly, Jeff Passan did go on a couple different outlets yesterday and said that he did not know until a couple weeks ago, very recently, he said. And it was Mima Kimes who had this story all along since 2017.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's what Boomer had mentioned last segment, that that's what we believed to be the case. We just didn't know the exact date on when Jeff Passan knew
well,
about
he
it.
He obviously didn't know when he was tweeting about the hiring of Jared Porter for the Mets and how he was glowing about the hiring that the Mets just made.
Yeah, absolutely. And Kimes is the one who, you know, was keeping in contact with the source and not helping out as best as she could. And
yeah. All right, Drew. No, I appreciate that. Al, you want to say something?
Yeah, because, and I've heard this from yesterday as well, but this was passed off as a Jeff Passan story with Mina Kimes. It's really the opposite. It's a Mina Kimes story. Like, why is she not getting the full credit for this story if she's the one who had this information all along? Like, why does he get the byline on that and then all of a sudden says, you know, he wasn't aware
of
it?
Yeah, that's a good question. I mean, I know that Jeff Passan is their lead MLB reporter. I don't know if there was someone...
Are you trying to say that ESPN is kind of screwing Mina Kimes over this whole thing?
I'm just saying, if she had the story and she's the one who's been keeping up with it for years...
I don't know what the reasons would be. I mean, is that one of those things where you go to an editor or someone in charge over there at ESPN and say, this is the story, like, how are we going to put it out? And then that person says, well, I think since Passan is our MLB guy that, you know, you put it out and you go out and you talk about it. I don't know. I don't know. But that's a very good question. I don't know why they went about it that way. And it's hard to even speculate because I don't think I've ever been in a situation like the way things work here. Like, we're not a news breaking organization. Most of the time we are not. You know, we are a reactionary place. We talk about things that did happen. It's opinion, it's entertainment. And there are times where news comes our way and talk show hosts here will say it and we'll be first on it, but it's rare. It doesn't happen a lot. So I've never worked in that atmosphere where news breaking and the protocol and who puts it out there and whose story it is. I've never been in that situation to be able to answer that. But that is a very good question. I don't know. Do you have any guesses, Al?
I do not.
Yeah, I don't know.
Unless they thought that Jeff had more contacts in baseball, and then she was the main source of the story, but then there were others involved.
Yeah, interesting. Let's go to Eric in New Jersey. What's going on, Eric?
What's up, fellas? First off, I love the both of you. I listen every day, and thank you. Thank you for all you do.
Oh, thank you, Eric.
Thank you,
I appreciate
it. Appreciate it, man.
What's
so what's going on?
I couldn't survive without you guys. You're as important as my breakfast. So shout out to you guys always. I'm a lifelong Met fan, and I have to agree with the other caller. This is where this is very Wilpon-ish with the no. It's not just that they didn't sign Springer and give him the extra year. They signed the B catcher in McCann. They didn't get Real Muto. Where, you know, they get Carrasco, who's okay, but he's not Bauer. And who, there's no guarantee. Lindor, from everything you read, is looking at a 10, possibly a 12-year deal for being so young. Where there's no guarantee that these guys are going to give him a 10 or 12-year deal. I think this is very... very Wilpon-ish.
No, you can't say. But Eric, here's the thing: why I disagree with you. Would the Wilpons have ever traded for Francisco Lindor?
You know what? We don't honestly, with what they gave up, possibly not definitely.
No, because he's going into the final year of his deal. The Wilpons were never giving out a $300 million contract, and I believe that Steve Cohen will do that with Francisco Lindor, and we don't know until it happens, but I believe that they would never be in on a deal like this. They wouldn't even have been in on Springer.
Gee, I don't I mean, I don't agree or disagree. We don't know that they wouldn't have traded for him. I can guarantee you, and I agree that Wilpons would have never gave him $300 million. But I'm not guaranteed that this guy that couldn't give Springer, who's one of the best clutch players in the last 20 years, $150 million. I'm disappointed.
Well, all right, Eric, let me ask you. Let me ask you, in your own life, because sometimes it's hard to compare these things, and I know it's apples and oranges. But there's probably things out there that you want and like that could improve your life in some way. But
Absolutely. But
at a price that makes sense to you. And at some point, you have to stop and say, this is now too far. Like, I like this particular thing at this price, but it's too far. There are billionaires, millionaires, wealthy people who make those decisions every day. People with money just don't buy everything overpriced. There's also people with money that are frugal and say, I'm going to get things at the right price, and that's why they're very smart financially. So I don't want you to take the leap and say that Steve Cohen is cheap because he didn't want to give Springer a deal that he didn't agree with.
Gee, listen, I love you, man, and I agree with 98% of the things you say on most days. But this is the where it's will punish an extra $25 million in an extra year for a guy that is the richest guy in baseball. He's richer than five owners combined. And we need a center fielder. This team hasn't had a good center fielder since Carlos Beltran. So I'm just very.
Listen, I'm not. I understand your frustration.
You know what, though? Again, it's all about the way things work and how you react to things. I never thought they would trade for Francisco Lindor. I didn't know if they had what it took to trade, and I can't even believe the Indians traded for what we traded for.
Sure.
But then again, they wanted to dump salary, and we had to take Carrasco's salary along with him and the 2 years that came along with him. And I think the Mets are happy to do that because they have a legitimate starting pitcher in their rotation. So when you add those two players and you have the assumption that they're going to give Lindor a contract extension, now all of a sudden that affects the way that you think financially in other areas and long term especially.
Yeah.
And that, by the way, that's not Steve Cohen doing that. That's Sandy Alderson and his baseball operations people, because Steve Cohen has told us, what has he said about Sandy Alderson?
Well, that he's going to let him make the decisions, and he trusts him, and he put someone in power to oversee baseball operations that is smarter than him in those areas. He's going to let him do his job.
Right, 100%. So he did his job, and the job that he did was he acquired Francisco Lindor. Now the job requires an extension for Francisco Lindor, probably to the tune of $300 million.
And by the way, we're assuming that Steve Cohen said no to that contract. That is not an assumption. So what Boomer said is right. Sandy Alderson probably said to Steve Cohen, hey, I don't think that it's smart to go to that 6 year and $150 million with George Springer, who's 31 years old, when there's other things I want to do with this team.
Especially if there are other things that he wants to do with this team that we haven't seen yet.
Right. So, like, all of it, like, that's exactly right. So, I mean, George Springer isn't 25, 26, 27 years old. He's 31 years old.
Francisco Lindor is.
Right. So, I mean, if I found out that Steve Cohen said, no, we got to stop the spending, stop there, I believe that Steve Cohen would spend the money. But Sandy Alderson probably said, you know, this isn't smart. And let's not forget, when the Wilpons were spending money, they spent on a lot of slugs, man. You know, like Jason Bay was a horrendous signing. I mean, even the Yankees have signed some real stinkers. You know, from Jacoby Ellsbury to Carl Pavano to even A.J. Burnett, even though they won the World Series that year, he was a bust at $80 million on that contract. So, I mean, all of a sudden, Met fans forget that, you know, as you say many times, free agent signings in a big offseason is not a panacea. It doesn't always work that way. So I'm happy that they're operating intelligently and are not spending, like they said, like drunken sailors in the beginning of the offseason.
Well, you know, the other thing, too, is you have to remember that,
Marcus Stroman.
Yeah, Marcus Stroman.
Yeah.
He opted in.
Yep, $18 million.
$18 million. You know, I don't necessarily, and I guess they would have expected that he was going to opt in, but that's another thing. And Marcus Stroman has done nothing since he's been here.
Right.
Nothing.
No, he really hasn't. I mean,
he's been tweeting, and he's a nice, you know, personality and all
like
that other stuff, but he's done
nothing. He's a local guy, got to have his back. You know, it's one of those things.
Yeah, well, I'd like to have all their backs. I'd like to have Steven Matz's back, too. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's still going to be about performance on the field.
Yeah. I've been trying. I've been texting the inner circle of Marcus Stroman.
The inner circle.
I was like, why don't you come on with us? I said, why don't you come on? I said, I'm an advocate, you know. Boomer, not so much. Boomer hates him. But I said, why don't you come on? Why don't you change Boomer's mind?
Number one, I don't hate anyone.
I'm kidding. I never said that.
I know, but when you say that.
I never said that.
But when you say that publicly with the mic on, people think just like when Eddie says, I hate Democrats. No, I don't hate Democrats. You know, I just hate the Democrats that want to tax us more. That's all. But no, the fact of this is I don't hate him. I just want him to perform. And I would love nothing better for him to turn into a – you know, a local guy that does good for a local team. That would be great.
He will this year. You'll see. It's going to be great this year.
You're right. There's going to be a lot of pressure on him because, you know, of course, when Steve Cohen buys the team, he opts in. I want to be here. This is going to be great. When in reality, he's always wanted to be a Yankee anyway.
Well, he has had some tweets. And I also believe that once he knew what the market was going to be in this particular year.
Okay. So now if whatever fits his world is great.
Yeah, but
I just want him to be good on the mound. I just want him to earn the money and to be the pitcher that everybody thought he was coming from Toronto.
I'm not going to ever blame a guy for making the right financial decisions with their
life,
career.
It's his family. He's got to do whatever he has to do.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
Do we know that Jeff Passan knew about this Jared Dorey when he sent out the tweet basically endorsing Jared Porter for the Mets job?
As far as I'm concerned, he did not know. You know, he did a number of interviews yesterday. You know, I watched them all, and he basically said he just recently became aware of this. Now, so people understand, Mina Kimes is a reporter for ESPN. She's an NFL analyst. She covers all the NFL and somehow got involved with this woman and knew about the story and everything else. And she was the one that had the story. I'm assuming that ESPN put Jeff Passan out there because he's their lead writer for baseball. If the roles were reversed and this was something that was happening in football – and Jeff Passan had the information, he would probably go to Mina Kimes or whoever else, at maybe Adam Schefter or somebody at ESPN, and they would be the lead byline on the story because it's in their world. So, you know, I'm not going to sit here and say that all I ever want to do is get the facts right.
Sure.
That's all I ever want to do on this radio program, and I've felt this way for 13 years. Just get the facts right. Don't be screaming and yelling. I'm not going to scream and yell about something that I don't know firsthand until I can navigate through the mountain of information that seems to be coming out.
So I just saw the Dan Patrick interview with Passan, and Patrick asked him directly, when did you become aware of this Jared Porter situation?
Okay.
And he said, me personally, very recently.
Right.
Now, if he's telling the truth and very recently means like in the last week or so, then that would mean that the tweets endorsing Porter that he had put out there were before he knew about the Porter situation.
So he's like the Mets. Like, in other words, the Mets had no idea.
So, but that's basic. We're trusting that Jeff Passan is telling us the truth about that. I don't know, but that's what he said. His quote was, very recently he found out about it. So that changes things. Because that one caller had called up and said, wait a second. You know, he tweeted that this guy's got the right whatever.
That's why it's important to know the timeline.
Yeah.
And that's why it's important to be accurate about the timeline and understand. Like, I just, for the life of me, I can't imagine somebody like Jeff Passan supporting somebody knowing what he knew. I don't know. And Mina Kimes, you know, she somehow got wind of this or somehow was contacted because of this. And then Passan, as I said, goes on to tell you that somebody in the Cubs organization knew about this. Now, who that somebody in the Cubs organization is, now that's for somebody else to go find out.
Right. And basically what it comes down to is, you know, there's questions about the ESPN timeline for sure that we're trying to figure out. I think we have a better grasp of it. There's definitely questions about the Cubs because it happened while Jared Porter was a Cubs employee and someone else in the organization knew about it. But as far as the Diamondbacks who hired Jared Porter after that and then the Mets are concerned, it seems like they had absolutely no idea what was going on.
Yeah, because as Jeff Passan points out, that whoever the Cubs person was contacted by the employer of the victim in this case. The employer contacted that Cubs person.
Yeah.
That Cubs person was trying to bring Jared Porter and whoever it was, and I don't know who it was. I don't think it was HR. I don't know if it was somebody that somebody knew.
I don't know.
If it was a PR person. Who
no
knows
idea.
Who it is?
Yeah.
Went about it the wrong way, obviously, and basically thought it was over with.
Yeah, and what Jeff Passan said in that interview that we just listened to, that he was trying to be the go-between to get Porter and this reporter together to work it out, which seems like a really, really bad idea. But whatever. That's not how I think you need to handle that situation, but that's the Cubs organization,
and that's their problem.
There's more
to that part of the story, though.
Yeah,
that's
for sure.
The point.
Yeah. All right, sorry, Jerry. We had to clean that up, that part of it. But we do have the update here, and I want to know what's going on in your world.
George Springer to Toronto. That's what's going on. So some Met. Al, did you do the poll this morning about the Met fan being upset?
I did not. I will do that right now, Jerry.
All right, then.
They're going to be pissed, I think. That's my prediction. 100%.
The first three I've talked to were not.
What do you mean the first three you've talked to?
We talked to Fliegelman, Eddie, and then Al showed us the tweet from Evan.
Oh, okay. I think that our callers this morning so far have been pissed.
I mean, I think it's 60-40 people are going to be unhappy for sure. I don't think it's going to be, as I said to Al earlier, 90-10.
But, like, I know Al hates this because, like, it's a complicated poll. But, like, I'm unhappy that George Springer isn't a Met, but I understand why they didn't.
But are you crushed?
No, I'm not crushed.
Right.
But I also understand why they didn't go the extra mile. So I would be one of those jerks who would respond to the poll and say, this is more nuanced than your yes or no question.
Anytime we lose to Canada, I'm upset.
There you go.
You know.
Or the Devils, as it turns out. Sandy Alderson did meet the media. Well, no, that's when you're upset. I get it. He did meet the media about this whole Porter firing. He said had to fire him without question.
Well, there were two individuals involved in this situation, the woman who was victimized and keeping in mind the extraordinary impact that this would have on Jared and his career. But nonetheless, we acted and decided this morning that he needed to be let go.
And he was. This goes to what you guys have been discussing a little bit here. Could they have dug deeper into his past?
It certainly raises questions that we have to reflect upon and decide whether things need to change. But I don't think this reflects a fundamental flaw in the process. I think this is a very unfortunate circumstance that we wish we'd known about, but didn't.
And they didn't, and he's gone. He says holding the employees to a high standard.
Personal conduct in a myriad of ways is important because each of us represents the Mets to somebody.
Yep. And so that was from Sandy Alderson yesterday with the media. Meantime, Don Sutton passed away. The Hall of Famer was 75. I mentioned Al in the poll. We do a warm-up show here on The Fan, as you guys know, between 5 and 6. And Al usually has the show sheet, and Al brings the topics. In this particular segment, Al decided to go here, which was fine.
Jerry, Sarah Thomas will become the first woman official in Super Bowl history.
Speed it up about 30 seconds.
A Radio.com Sports Minute by Amy Lawrence, who says, congrats to, you know who, Al?
Sarah Paulson.
Sarah Paulson.
It's early. It's very, very early.
That was pretty funny, actually.
Sarah Paulson is a famous actress, though, right? At least
as we found out.
Yeah,
I did Google her, and I recognized her for sure.
I mean...
You brought her up, though. That was funny. Basketball-wise, Sean Marks with his good pals, Carton and Roberts, today.
That's going to be good, man. Fan. I'm excited for that one. I am excited for that interview.
Yes, and it will be fine. I do think the way Harden's played the last couple of games, though, softens Evan a little bit. Yes, yeah. I do.
Evan actually brought that up yesterday. He said they were very smart. They waited 5 days to do this interview.
He's right, because if he would have gone on the day it was official, Evan might have blasted him for, you know, as long as he would have sat there and taken it. Meantime, Kyrie Irving did meet the media on a video conference yesterday, is expected to play in Cleveland, missed seven games. He said he spoke to the team.
I just take full accountability for my absence with the guys and, you know, just had a conversation with each one of them, and we move on.
He had a message.
Full accountability, how? Like in what way?
I mean, like, of course you're accountable for it because you're the one who left. It was your decision. There's no other accountability to go around. You know, I mean, what are you going to do? Blame somebody else for your absence? No.
Well, but that's anytime anybody says I take full responsibility for my actions, we're saying, all right, well, he said what he had to say.
That's like me dumping a coffee on Boomer's head and going, you know, I take full responsibility for doing this. Like, duh.
Well, yeah.
Like, of course.
You know what? If you did that, I would make sure you take full responsibility for doing that. That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, but I don't know. To me, it's like, are we supposed to applaud him for taking full responsibility?
I don't think he was asking for applause.
For him leaving? Like,
boy,
I don't
you guys
know.
Are tough
you'd be,
here.
You'd be spitting chiclets, kid. Let me tell you.
I wouldn't do it. I know. Listen, you could, with your old man strength that you've got these days.
Old man strength.
That's what they call it. Yeah,
yesterday I was called a Neanderthal Norwegian or something like that.
Yeah.
Because of my aura. That's my Neanderthal Norwegian aura.
Aura, yeah.
And now you're saying I have old man strength.
Which is a high compliment, because old man strength is something that not a lot of people have.
That is true. Usually people get weak as they get older.
Yeah, and you are the opposite of that.
You've maintained.
You're like Tom Brady. You know, you're reversing time is what you're doing. Man.
Right.
You're
out there.
Kyrie was asked, where do you go from here?
We just move on, and I let my actions and my game speak for itself like I planned on doing. You know, just needed a pause.
Yeah.
He says
I'd love to be able to just take off for like 2 weeks and then come back and tell Chernoff, like, listen, we're just going to move on from this. All right.
No, it's bizarre. it's bizarre behavior, man.
I just want to tell you that I take full responsibility. I'd like to move on from me not being here unexplained and unexcused for 2 weeks. Can we move on?
Well, he tried to explain. He said he had issues. He has personal issues.
Thanks, Mark.
Just a big thing about also mental health, you know, just coming in and being balanced with yourself first and then being able to perform.
He also said likes the fact that, you know, James Harden's here. They're going to make it work. I think it was Otis Livingston who asked him, like, point blank, like, how do you fit in now? Which I thought was an interesting question.
Well,
and he didn't really answer the question.
Kind of fair. Just, I mean, isn't it?
For sure. I thought it was a nice point blank question,
yeah.
And he didn't really answer it. He just said, you know, we're going to be good and we're going to work hard and blah 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 blah.
Everybody's talking about like how this is going to be, you know, they got to get used to each other and all this other stuff. That's a great basketball player.
Yeah,
and at the end of the day, first and foremost, the adult in the room is Kevin Durant,
mm-hmm.
And Kevin Durant can do whatever he wants on the basketball court anytime he gets it. And you know what? I do believe that he's dedicated on becoming the greatest player in the league. I do believe that. And I believe at one point in time, he probably felt that way until his Achilles blew out.
Well, I mean, he was when he won that MVP with
right.
Oklahoma City, too.
Yeah, so I kind of feel like he's a dedicated guy, dedicated to basketball, dedicated to the team, and wants to show up and play his ass off every night.
Yeah, no, of course. And nobody's going to – and I even said when this trade happened that generally when guys like this get together, they're that talented and ends up working. But there is a legitimate basketball question here. This is not about the talent of these guys. The legitimate basketball question is, both Kyrie Irving and James Harden, at their best, are facilitators and need to have the ball. And James Harden, when he came over and started playing hard again with the ball in his hands and running the point, was fantastic. Now you're going to take that away, and then Kyrie, like, so like when Kevin Durant went to the Warriors, you knew everybody's role, right? It fit more. With this, with Harden and Kyrie, for them to be their best, it's a legitimate question. Do I think it's going to fail? I actually don't. I think it'll work out, but somebody's going to have to compromise.
Yeah, but why don't they just, you know, alternate? Like, you be the facilitator in this
you know
play,
what
you
do?
Be the facilitator in that play, or just make them play at different times.
You want to know what? Yeah, there you go. I would put Kyrie on the bench, and I'd bring him in as part of the second unit like Caris LeVert was, and that's how I would do it, and you'd have, like, the it would just be waves of offense in ways you couldn't defend it.
Well, that ain't going to happen.
But I'm telling you, take the ego out of it.
Yeah,
but that's what I would do.
All right,
I'd be like, okay, these guys get a rest. Here comes Kyrie in here, and now it's just this is crazy. We can't stop this.
All right, so at the end of the game, who's taking the last shot?
Kevin Durant every time.
That's a big deal, right? Yeah, I mean, the last shot part of this whole drama that's unfolding before our eyes. I know one thing. Harden wants to make this work. You could tell. You could just tell.
Yeah.
Now the question is, what happens when, you know, Kyrie comes back and he's got his hands on the ball? Now what? I think they're all going to make it. They're going to make it work. Why? Because there's so much pressure on them to make it work.
Yeah. Yes, Jerry?
Hughes goes cross-ice. Palmieri picks it up.
Shut up, Jerry.
Comes back to Jack along the left wing wall. Now to Subban, to Palmieri. Far circle. Comes to Hughes. Moves in. Sends one in front. They score. Tic-tac-toe. Miles Wood, and it's 4-2.
Deciding goal. I actually did hockey before football. How about that?
How to get it in? I will say this. You know, watching this game last night, the Rangers were all over the Devils.
They were.
And Jack Hughes was great. You know, his passing, he's actually put on about 15 pounds. He doesn't look like the little kid that he was last year. He's going to be a great player. There's no question about that. And Mackenzie Blackwood played his ass off last night.
Let me tell you, I mean, does it alarm you that your team played really, really well and lost? I mean, you know, it's not a good thing. Like, if you played poorly and lost, like, all right, you got to fix some things. When you play, like, the best game you can play and you still lose?
I'm just going to tell you right now, in the first 10, you better be 500 at worst after the first 10.
Not a great start.
Yeah, under 500 right now.
Yeah, I get it, guys. A
couple of other things. The Lions hire Aaron Glenn as their new defensive coordinator.
All right. I like him.
Yes. Yeah. So he went from, I think, defensive backs coach in New Orleans to now up to defensive coordinator. Michael Thomas of the Saints needs ankle ligament surgery. That doesn't sound fun. The press conference to introduce Robert Saleh as the new Jets head coach is tomorrow at 2 p.m. So that's now all official. That should be fun.
Oh, I can't wait for that one, man.
Hey, did you see the story about A.J. Brown, the wide receiver for the Titans, how he played through injuries? He got hurt in week 2 and had to go through 2 surgeries at the end of the season, but still had like an incredible season going and battling through all the injuries he had.
It was great. I mean, even in the playoff game, I mean, my goodness, he was all over the place. So, yeah, I mean, that happens a lot. I feel like that always happens with the Yankees. Like, at the end of the year, it's like, you know, 6 guys need surgery, but they do it right before spring training.
Seton Hall lost to number 3 Villanova 76-74, and Tiger Woods had a 5th back surgery that will knock him out of Torrey Pines and Riviera next month.
Nah,
there you go.
Stinks.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
You just up tossing and turning and all pissed off that they got off to a 1-2 start and every loss is like 5. Like it's
Well, you know, I appreciate you asking me that. No, I can't. I can't really go to sleep. I try to go to sleep. And then I hit the remote and by accident on comes a movie last night that I haven't seen in a while, but it was one of my favorite movies that I just totally forgot about.
Like an old movie, like when you're a kid or something
No, no, it was like 2010, 2011, somewhere around there. And it was a Jamie Foxx movie with Gerard Butler, Law-Abiding Citizen.
Law-Abiding Citizen with Jamie Foxx. Okay.
Right, so I ended up getting stuck in that and watching that to the end. So I think I fell asleep around 11:30 last night.
Oh, gosh. 11:30 because a law-abiding citizen?
Well, really because of the Ranger loss.
Yeah, okay, but you're still
I was going through my brain like, you
couldn't
know.
Couldn't go to sleep, start flipping around, see a movie you like.
The other team has a breakaway and they always score. We have a breakaway, we can't score, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Like last night I should have went to bed a little bit earlier, but I got caught up. I watched an extra episode of Thousand Pound Sisters on TLC.
All right, so I'm watching a Ranger game of Law-Abiding Citizen and you're watching Thousand Pound Sisters.
Yeah, 1,000 pound sisters.
Are you trying to get inspired? Are you looking for...
No.
What are you looking for?
Just entertainment, really. I'm not looking to be inspired by
1,000 pound sisters.
1,000 pound sisters. It's a phenomenal show. Absolutely phenomenal. It's these two sisters. One is 600 pounds. The other is 400 pounds, hence 1,000 pound sisters. They live in Kentucky. One of them's married to this guy that cracks me up every time I see him. And they're trying to get gastric bypass surgery to turn their life around.
Okay.
So they go and see a bariatric surgeon in Atlanta. They go down there. They load up in the car, drive from Kentucky to Atlanta.
Loading up in the cars.
Yeah, they have to put the seats down and everything. And they drive down there, stop at the hotel and everything else. And yeah, and then they go back and they got to start their new eating habits and they throw everything out.
Did they actually have the surgery?
See, I'm not quite there yet. But okay. They went down there to see the doctor in person. This is pre-pandemic when this was filmed.
Well, they also have to make sure, doesn't the doctor have to make sure that these people are mentally capable of handling this kind of procedure?
That is part of these shows. That is part of these shows where they do go to a therapist. He also needs to see progress prior to the surgeries so he knows that they can change their habits and their lifestyle. So he goes, all right, we're going to see you in a couple of months. You have to lose X amount of pounds, and you need to go to a therapist and talk about these things. Then if you come back and you hit the goals, then we could talk about you being approved for surgery. So you're just on the journey with the sisters, Boomer, is really what it is. Like, you're being invited into their weight loss journey, and then you're riding with them. And they're very entertaining. And they're from the South, and they laugh, and they're just, you know, and just physically, when you see them, you're just like, you want more of them, you know? So... You just, if you saw it, like if you Google thousand pound sisters and you see him, like when I saw them laughing and talking to one another, I was like, ooh, what is this? How can I get involved in this journey with these 1,000 pound sisters?
You got involved.
Oh, I got involved, yes. And then the husband of the one woman,
them?
Yeah, that's them right there. Yeah, that's them.
So if they do this.
Tammy and Amy.
If they do this surgery.
Yeah.
Will they not also have to have further surgeries to remove some of the excess skin?
Yeah. Best case scenario, yes. That would be the skin surgery would be something that if they lost a lot of weight, they would get the excess skin surgery. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So, yeah. But, I mean, first, you got to get healthy, you know, and you got to be able to lose the weight. So, and they actually, they had, I think the way that TLC found them is they had a popular YouTube channel, the two of them,
okay,
where they would taste test stuff and eat things on camera and they would laugh and be entertaining. And then all of a sudden they got picked up and they even had a meet and greet on their way down to Atlanta to meet the doctor, Dr. Proctor. And they
Dr. Proctor
is the bariatric surgeon. Yes, Dr. Proctor. Yeah, they like Dr. Proctor.
Dr. Proctor.
Yeah, they stopped and had like a meet and greet with their YouTube fans.
Calling Dr. Proctor.
Yeah, and then the people actually showed up.
Stat, Dr. Proctor, stat.
And they signed some stuff and had some pictures taken. But yeah, so it's funny. When they fight with one another, it's just, oh, it's great. When there's like some tension there and like, you know, Tammy's not doing what she needs to do and Amy's getting frustrated. And they start going after each other. It's great. I highly recommend it.
You are all in on this,
I say.
Yeah,
highly. But, you know, you got to watch these shows with no commercials, though, I got to say. Like, you know, like I found it on Hulu and they just, you know, they just blow right through.
Okay,
bang,
good.
Bang, bang. You go right because I can't sit there with the commercials with the 1,000 pound sisters. All right, let's go to Joe on Long Island. Hello, Joe.
Hey, guys.
What's up, man?
Nothing. How you guys doing today?
Good today. Good. What do you got for us?
Awesome. I was just, Boomer said, he doesn't want to lose to Canada, you know, and I'm totally on board with that. Obviously, I never want to lose to anyone, but, you know, I'm looking at that contract, and I know that I shouldn't care about the money, and I know they play different positions, but DJ LeMahieu, $90 million for the same amount of time, and $150 million for George Springer. I don't think that's a loss for the Mets. I think it's a good move. What do you guys?
Well, yeah, and also at 31 years old, Joe. I mean, they're both right around the same age. Like I don't know. I wanted Springer as a Met. I did. But just signing a guy and spending the most money doesn't mean it's the right thing to do when you have it.
Here's the one thing that I will say that I think there is a certain window here over the next 2 to 3 years where we still have the best pitcher in baseball. And I don't want to waste that. Listen to me. What I want to make sure is that every time he goes out on the mound, that we have a very, very good chance of winning that game due to the support system around him, which means a new catcher, which they do have, a new shortstop, which they got, and they still may get a defensive center fielder that could help him as well. And I do think that there's a window for Jacob deGrom here, maybe for the next 4 to 5 years.
Sure, I agree with that.
So and you also know, and I was saying it this morning, we're also in a very tough division. So in our division, we have to make sure that we can support our pitching staff with the best pitcher in baseball. And I don't want to lose that. I don't want him going out like, you know, Dan Marino went out. You know, you had the best quarterback in football for a long time, and he just never got a Super Bowl because they never supported him the right way.
John's at Hofstra, our pal. What's going on, John? Good morning.
Good morning, boys. You know, as a reasonable Met fan, I'm having trouble kind of figuring out the right words to say here. When your caller, Eric, earlier and what you guys were saying, you both make sense. But I'll tell you, boys, this was the guy to get, George Springer. And you know what? No one can say that Stevie Cohen is cheap, but I'll tell you something. It feels cheap. It doesn't feel right. This guy is a bull. He came in with the whole, I'm going to kick ass and take no prisoners. And we really, really needed this guy. I mean, you could paint it however you want. And Sandy has all alternative plans, and maybe we'll get Trevor Bauer. But I'm going to tell you something. When we get Jackie Bradley Jr. or some defensive center fielder, man, that just feels cheap. It's a tough pill to swallow.
John, let me ask you this. Okay. How did you feel when you heard the trade for Francisco Lindor and Carrasco? How did you feel?
I felt good. However, I will say this honestly. I'm excited, and we're going to sign him, which we all know. That wasn't the exact necessary. We didn't need him as much as I'm happy we have him and we got him. We needed George Springer. We needed
Who's a better player at a younger age, though?
I understand that, but Gio, I'm going to get to that because you said that earlier. He's, what did you say, 31? He's not 35 or 36. He's not Jason Bay. This guy would be hitting 30 bombs, running around in center field. Okay, for God's sakes, he's from Connecticut. How did we not get this guy? He is.
Well, they made an offer of 5 years around 125.
He is a stud, and he is an investment. This guy would be locking down center field.
Well, John, let me ask you this question: If let's say Sandy Alderson went to Steve Cohen and said, "Hey, this is how I feel about it. Yeah, he's going to get 6 and 150 from the Blue Jays. You know, I don't think it's a smart idea to give him another year and more money." And Steve Cohen said, well, if you want to go farther, I'm here for you. I'll pay for it. Doesn't matter. But I'm going to trust your judgment because I hired you to do the baseball decision. Does that make you feel better about this or not?
I think it would as a reasonable person. And that's what it sounds like, because I'm going to tell you something. For anybody to tell me that Stevie Cohen could not ante up to get this guy and we're going to have someone else not even comparable to him. I mean, you're saying it now today, but when we get Bradley Jr. or someone else not as good as him, you're going to then look back on this and go, you know what? What the hell were we doing not spending the extra whatever millions? And it's not my money, but you have to understand that perspective too.
I understand it, John, and I was upset that he wasn't a Met this morning, but I think that the Met fan is so conditioned to believe that the ownership group said, no, don't spend the money. We're so conditioned to think that when something like this happens, the assumption is made, that's an incorrect assumption, that Steve Cohen told Sandy Alderson, no, don't go that far. We don't know that. What Steve Cohen said is, I'll do what you think is right. I'm here to spend the money. And my guess would be, an educated guess, that Sandy said, I don't think we should go that far with him.
You know, we wake up this morning and we have a real-time reaction to what just happened, both in the front office of the Mets and also the loss of George Springer to the Toronto Blue Jays. So we have the immediate reaction. What I always warn and what I want to tell myself right now is I just want to wait to see what the actual team looks like when they get the spring training.
Sure.
I want to see when Sandy Alderson is done here
building the roster,
yeah,
that's when I can sit here and obviously say, okay, he's done the right thing. He did the wrong thing. Hey, look, the Francisco Lindor trade was out there. People were talking about it. I never thought for the life of me that the Mets would ever go and make this trade because I didn't think they would have the prospects that would float the boat of the Cleveland Indians. But then they did flex their money muscle by saying, okay, we're taking Francisco Lindor and we'll also take Carrasco. So that's how, that's using your money as well, taking on another contract that Cleveland wanted to get rid of. That's probably one of the reasons why the trade was made and why people around baseball thought that the Indians didn't get enough for Lindor. But then you got to throw in the fact that they took the salary for Carrasco and they're going to put him right in the middle of the rotation.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer Esiason and Greg Giannotti. Boomer and Gio.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.